Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Mill Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Easter Saturday. Is there such a thing as Easter Saturday? I think we need a theologian on the show to answer that question. But we have a welcome return guest, Mr. James Blewett. Welcome to the show, James.
Hello, Nick. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're speaking obviously in the aftermath of yesterday's Good Friday crucifixion at the Den of Rotherham, a 1-0 win. Had the chance to speak to Aaron Paul, Radio 5's Aaron Paul, last night in the immediate aftermath of the game from one of the most glamorous locations possible outside the kebab shop on Ilderton Road. So I'm just going to cut over now and listen to my piece with Aaron from yesterday.
Achtung, Millwall.
Big welcome on the show to our regular roving Radio 5 reporter, Mr. Aaron Paul, who's been at the Den this afternoon. How are you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, I join you from the salubrious corner of Ilderton Road. I'm outside the Ince Kebab House, which is doing a roaring trade, Nick, on this Friday night. I'm telling you, are busy.
Whoa, there's always a demand. Always a demand, I suppose, isn't there?
Do you ever frequent the Mill House?
Not so much. I don't mind a kebab, but it's once in a blue moon for me, mate. Are you an aficionado of the kebab?
I like a homemade sort of kebab. I mean, I've looked at it. I won't be frequenting there today. You know, we've got a bit of dinner plan, but
yeah,
you know, I might have to pop in. I'd love some listeners' reviews of the old Mill House. Is it any good? You know, because I look at the sign, it says kebabs, burgers, chicken takeaway. Now, when you've got an establishment that has sort of, you know, that has all these sorts of varieties of cuisine.
Yeah.
It often leads to like a reduction in quality in comparison to, you know, the offering. So I'd love to know from listeners, what is the quality like? Is it any good? What are we dealing with here?
Okay, well that's one for the listeners. I can't answer that question. But what do we make of the? Is it like a kebab van you got there?
It's the Mill House on the corner of Ilderton Road, you know, next to Greg's.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. So, listeners, do tell us of your thoughts on the Mill House Kebab House. These are the questions that are going to weigh heavy on our mind over the long summer ahead, Aaron. I mean, that was a funny old game today. It was Millwall in a nutshell. Some good, some bad, and some indifferent, wasn't it? It was a game of two halves.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's more positives than negatives there. Well, that's one thing I'll say. There's a lot more positives than there were negatives. Firstly, Billy Mitchell and Danny McNamara were very, very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Danny McNamara is a real quality player.
Prospect and a half.
Gotta make sure he's tied up hard on a contract.
Yeah.
You know, I know he has signed a new contract, hasn't he?
I believe he signed one recently, so the club have got their I mean, he's really developed. I thought that today he's one of the standout players.
I mean, I was talking to you chaps and saying, yes, I love Marlon, but Danny Mac is more composed. He feels more composed, more calm, more assured.
Yeah.
Whereas Marlon, you get blood, guts, thunder, bang, you know, like he's a direct sort of attacking fullback. Danny Mac, it just feels like he takes a bit more time to reflect and then does his job. It's good. I really, really like him. I like the look of Billy Mitchell as well. He looks really tricky on that far side. And he could be a long-term sort of solution on that far side. Next year in the championship could be very good to him, unless you know, they decide to stick him out on loan. I think he'd be very, very good in the championship.
Strange game today. I mean, obviously, Rotherham came into the game desperate for points, absolutely desperate, but the first half was a strange affair, I thought. It had a very end-of-season feeling from the Millwall perspective. But
there was 8 games earlier today. 8 games to go. They're waiting for this season just to peter out and fizzle out and sort of regroup and let the, you know, get the scaffolding up and get going, really, with the rebuild. You know, with Rotherham, they came into today with, I think it's 4 games in hand over Birmingham, and you know, they're 3 points behind Birmingham, and now they're probably sat thinking, shit, you know, we should have got something out of that, a point, hopefully 3, and clawed our way out of it. I still make them the favourites to get out of it.
They seem to have some drive about them, Aaron. I thought they had something.
Absolutely.
They're unlucky today. I think they will class themselves as unlucky to go home empty-handed.
I mean, you can tell why they're down there. They don't, they're not clinical enough, very much like Millwall. They've scored the same amount of goals as Millwall. They've scored 38 goals. Millwall scored 39 goals now. It was 38 earlier, but you know, Millwall scored 39 goals. You can really see what their issue is there. And they play a 3-5-2. They're physical. They're in your face. They're good. Although, if I'm honest with you, I think Millwall's version of the 3-5-2 today was actually better. They pressed hard. They closed down gaps. You know, one thing I'll tell you is Millwall actually didn't do too bad at all. And you've got to give sort of a bit of credit to Gary Rout and Co after the international break to come back and put on a half decent performance. I agree with you. The first half was just a bit of a first half was very weird. Very weird.
I mean, a very good save from Bart Bielkowski. It was a header on goal, I think, which he batted round the post towards the end of the first half. It was probably the standout moment. Otherwise, it felt very much like batting the day out, really, at the end of a cricket match. But the second half was much more lively, much more interesting to watch. And I mean, fair play to Rotherham. They did try and take the game to us, and they had a number of penalty shouts, none of which looked very strong to me. But I suppose on other days you see those kinds of decisions given. And the one in the end that they did get, I thought didn't look a very strong shout. I don't know how you saw the penalty.
I mean, look, we didn't have the benefits of a replay that you guys do have with iFollow. We get what we're given, really. I thought they should have had one in the first half as well.
Did you?
I thought they should have had one in the first half.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it was fair, the pen. I mean, look, I haven't had the chance to replay. So
no, okay.
First half, that's it. But, you know, they stuck themselves about. The thing is, I think the referee was actually quite poor. If you look at the referee's performance over the whole game, he was poor. He failed to make big decisions. There was that one moment where Ryan Woods was just brought down completely in the midfield. Then Woodsy gets up, runs, you know, and chases someone down, and then goes to the ball as well, and sort of gets reprimanded for it. It was very, very, very strange, you know, like just, yeah, the referee, not the best performance. He took his time over the penalty as well. He waited and waited and waited, looked at the assistant, even with the red card, if you watch him, he waits, looks at the assistant, looks back, and then goes, actually, yeah, I'm going to make a decision. It was like he had sort of like some sort of delay, you know, a 10-second delay on his thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was him totting up the other shouts that he hadn't given. I think he, you know, I think you're right, poor referees in the end. I mean, the previous incidents have nothing to do with the one that's just in front of you. And I think that there was an adding up process going on in those 10 seconds whilst he made that decision. Could have been crucial. Obviously, the Lions led from a wonderful Jed Wallace goal. He produces these moments of inspiration, Aaron, from you know, that take your breath away. He can frustrate at times, Jed, but when he does get it right, Jesus, he's a strong finisher and a spectacular one as well.
You know, he kicked the turbo in against Richard Wood, their centre half, and it got Wood sent off, you know.
Yeah.
And let's be fair, he probably would have scored if he'd played through and carried on. But he was brought down. But geez, what a goal, man. What a goal. You know, he just, I said on the radio, I'm surprised the ball didn't explode. He hit it that hard. He lashed the ball towards goal. There's only one place he's hitting it as well, and that's top corner.
Yeah.
Who went for top corner before? Was it Danny Mac or Mason Bennett? Mac.
Yeah, good up.
Danny Mac went for top corner, nearly chipped got
over.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant save.
Yeah.
Minutes before, it was actually Danny who you know, shot towards the top corner, but a fantastic save by the goalkeeper. And then, yeah, just a real, real solid goal. I mean, for me, after the red card, what was disappointing is that obviously Millwall scored, but then, you know, the disappointing part for me was that Gary Rowett didn't instantly go, right, shit, bring three on. Let's go 4-3-3 or 3-4-3, whatever it is, and let's go and attack them. Let's go and win this properly and knock some goals in and sort of try and get people's confidence up. Bodvarsson, come on. Oh, geez. It was just, you know, someone who knows their time's up felt so shit seeing him. So Hall offered very little. He looks like someone who's just can't wait to get back to
West Brom, yeah.
West Brom, you know, you'll probably get a game. Let's be fair, you'll probably get games next season at West Brom when they come down for the Premier League. You know, Bradshaw's completely out of favour. It's just a real strange sort of the circumstances.
The fixation with John Daddy, I don't get, because there are other choices available. But he seems to be fixed on John Daddy. I don't fully get that. Maybe there are things that you don't see in his game that are not apparent. I don't know. Zohor obviously coming back after injury. I think that was his first run out today. So, you know, I had a couple of moments where he looked physically strong. But obviously, I thought the game would turn on the red card, Aaron, and it kind of did, because Rotherham, in fairness, and raised their game. They were, you know, as so often happens, the 10 men played like 11, and they really caused us to look a bit panicky at times. I think that's what I meant about the other side of the coin for me.
They were always going to try and sort of, you know, stick it in the mixer and try and upset things. But again, as I mentioned on radio, when you are putting someone up against Jake Cooper, Hutch in the first half, obviously we'll get onto him.
Yeah.
Hutch and then, you know, Alex Pearce and Murray Wallace. You've got to be big, you've got to be strong, you've got to be good, because they're big, big boys, especially Jake Cooper, who marshals the back line very, very well. It was a funny one from Rotherham. You've got a great keeper in Bart as well, who can pull off saves. And that save from the header, by the way, was unreal. You know, what a save. Getting low down. Even at his age, what is he, 33?
Yeah, he's come towards his midpoint 30s,
You know, he's aging like a fine wine, Nick. He's like yourself, you know, aging like a fine wine. You know, as many of our female listeners will agree, and some of our male, maybe, you know. But
we're open to, you know, all listeners on this show.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, he really, really put on a show today, Bart Bielakoski. That penalty save as well. I know we're going to get onto it, but wow, what a save.
It was. I mean, I actually, it's a good point you're making, because I thought at the time that the headed save, I mean, it's hard to put one that's superior to the other. A penalty is a penalty, and the other one was an open play situation. But to get down for that headed chance, which was bottom left-hand corner, if memory serves, and to get it pushed around the post was top work. And then, of course, the match-saving save of the penalty. We take Bart's brilliance almost for granted, Aaron. And I think when you see him set against many other goalkeepers, in especially in this Championship division, he's a standout. I mean, how he's not making the Polish national team. I mean, the Polish player that we had in the week against England must be some goalkeeper, is all I can think of, because Bart is as good as you're going to get, I think. I don't know what more he can do.
Do you know what it is, Nick? I'll say one thing that lacks in his game. Yeah. One thing that everyone wants these days. He can't play with his feet.
No, No, he's,
you know, he's not a sweeper keeper. He's not someone who'll pick it up and will play it from the back. But then again, he don't need to be at Millwall because they don't play it from the back.
We don't play it. Thankfully,
you know, one thing I'll say, you know, thankfully, I can't stand it. I'm not a fan at all. You know what I love today is him just bowling the ball out, you know, at pace. The sad thing is there's a load of players because you've got such a mismatch in that squad. You've got a load of players who don't know whether to take it forward, to stop, hammer time, look around, what they're doing. You know, am I going left? Am I going right? And so the attack dies. It fizzles up before you've crossed the halfway line.
Well, you're right about Bart not being good with, not being the best with his feet, shall we put it that way? But he was given one or two passes back today where he needed to be on his toes. So, you know,
Well, yeah, I know, but if you see what he did with them, look what he did with them.
Well, he put him into touch.
Cleared him into touch and that was it. But, you know, clubs want a keeper that can play with his feet. And he doesn't play with his feet. And do you know what? I'm kind of glad he doesn't play with his feet because it means that people aren't going to come and try and poach him.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly in his prime for the Lions. Let's hope he's got a few years yet left in him at Millwall because he's a match-winning goalkeeper and they're rare, rare commodities. And it finished 1-0, of course, in the end, after a bit of a harem scarum along the way. It was an interesting game overall. I mean, the second half really saved it. The first half, I thought, was pretty drab. And the second half, actually, you had...
Good game in the second half. It became end-to-end.
Yeah.
At one point, it became end-to-end. And that was... It was interesting to watch. It was fascinating to watch. You know, with Millwall, like, sometimes you just think, what the fuck are you doing? The amount of crosses that were put into the box, great, cool. Who's on the end of them? You're not playing a striker. Bennett is not an out-and-out, you know, forward. Even he'll admit that he's one of them forwards that drifts off, you know, drifts off the left, comes off the right, whatever it is.
And a good one. I like him. I thought he played
He's, you know what? He was good. Mason Bennett was good today. He was direct with his running and stuff, which is great. And I've got to shout out Conor Mahoney as well, if only for that chance at the end. You know, he did all the hard work. The footwork was unreal. And you just feel, if there is a full cold blow lane, but you know, behind him, they're sucking that ball into the net and they'd strike that just a bit better.
And that magic little drop of the shoulder that sold the dummy. Those are the moments, Aaron. That's why you watch football for me. I mean, those are the beauty moments. And Connor can do it. I mean, let's hope he can produce the consistency, which has always been the criticism.
Beautiful. Mm. On a side note, Sean Hutchinson left the den on crutches.
Yeah, he landed awkwardly, it looked like, on the eye follow. Yeah. Like he came down on his ankle. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I doubt that he'll be playing Monday. Maybe not for a few weeks yet, given the nature of the season now. But he didn't look very happy when he was sat on the floor.
No. I saw him leave the den on crutches. He wasn't walking too great, let's just say that. So, you know, best of luck to him.
Touch. Welcome back, Alex Pearce, for the remainder of the season. And we'll see.
Alex Pearce. You know, he's not someone who's terribly loved by.
He didn't do too bad today. He didn't do too bad when he came on. I thought he did okay by his Alex Pearce standards. So
the question is, Nick, does Gary Rowett go to a back four then?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem terribly. He doesn't seem terribly flexible at times, Gary Rowett. He has set responses, like a set menu, isn't it? You know, you get what you get, and that's no matter what the situation, you know you're going to see John Daddy at some point, and you're going to have this back three, and it doesn't...
Set menu, you're thinking of the Millhouse, aren't you?
And that kebab. Are you going in for one, mate? Are you going to go and get yourself one before you take your drive home?
No. We've got a bit of dinner tonight, so otherwise I would. I mean, look, I'm going to wait for some of the listeners' reviews, yeah?
All right.
I'll wait for some of the listeners' reviews. If they recommend it, then absolutely, we'll have to have an outing, an acting outing.
Well, that'll be for once we're all jabbed up and we're all back in the summertime, post-August, let's hope, we can maybe check it out and we'll put out a podcast based purely in and around the Millhouse kebabs. That's the way to take that, I think.
Absolutely.
Neil Harris is in the house today. That was an interesting guest, wasn't it?
Neil was watching from the back of the Barry Kitchener stand.
Just, interesting.
I mean, you know, I spoke to him before the game and he said he was just happy to be out, you know, and just happy to be out and about. I think he's a bit bored.
I think we all know that feeling. I imagine he must be. He's been in football all of his life, really, isn't he? And then for it to stop.
Well, yeah, you know, you think about it. He hasn't been unemployed for a lot of his life.
No.
You know, for the majority of his life. And I think just going to football gives him sort of something to do. He was He looked well, though. One thing I'll say about Neil, he looked really, really well. Just happy to be sort of there. And, you know, saw him catching up with Ryan Leonard before the game and just chatting to a couple of others. And, sort of, you know, just, yeah, it was nice to see him. And I made sure I said that to him. You know, it was really nice just to see him up and happy and about and just, yeah, you know what I mean.
He's back at his spiritual home. I know that, you know, obviously the football management has its ups and downs, but Neil Harris is a Millwall legend and always will be. So it's nice to see him back at the Den.
This week we've seen Sergio Aguero be awarded a statue by Manchester City. Does Neil Harris deserve a statue?
It's an interesting point. We're not big on statues at the Den, are we? I don't know. We've ever had one, or never. Other clubs do it, but we never seem to have got it together. I mean, I don't know. Statues are a thing for when you're gone, so maybe not during your lifetime. You shouldn't have a statue. I think.
Are they? I mean, there's a few people with statues who are still alive. Thierry Henry, yeah. Alex Ferguson.
I don't know. There's an etiquette of statues, isn't there?
Is Dingy Morecambe? Is it Eric Morecambe?
Yeah, he's dead.
Eric Morecambe.
Yeah. And I mean, there are other Billy Bremner. You know, there's
Thierry Henry. He's got a statue.
Yeah. It's a bit like having a blue plaque put on the wall. You know, it's generally done after your race has been run, you know. So, I don't know. That's one for the listeners, Aaron. That's one for the listeners, mate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, a Neil Harris statue. I don't think many people would complain about that at all.
That's Millwall. People will always complain about things. But, yeah, I don't know. Take care on your drive home, Mr. Paul. And enjoy your meal later on. And
yeah, I will, mate. I will. I'm a bit tired.
I'll bet you are. All right, mate. Well, listen, we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Cheers,
huge thank you to Aaron Paul for joining us. Hot foot from the Den, from outside the Greg's / Millhouse Kebab House on Ilderson Road. Big thank you to Aaron.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're enjoying Achtung Millwall Podcast, then why not help us grow the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love it. Love it. If you visit the Apple link in the show notes and leave us a rating and a review. Achtung Millwall is the number one podcast broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. No show sponsors, no Patreon, and no TikTok accounts. Thank you, dear listeners, and as always, arrivederci Millwall.
Welcome back to the show after that highly glamorous location piece there from Aaron. Big welcome back to the show to James once again. James, we were just speaking off air about Millwall and drifty end of season affairs where nothing much seems to be at stake. And yet, I was just looking at the league table. We're only 7 points off the money in sixth spot, aren't we?
Don't go there.
Can't help it. It was a strange, grindy win yesterday. How did you find it? I'm still split as to whether I enjoyed it or not yesterday. I can't quite make my mind up.
I thought it was a bit of a slog, to be honest. Thought it wasn't like a lot of the games under Rowett this season, really. It wasn't an easy watch, but it was effective. You know, I remember George Graham's teams were never particularly easy on the eye. And he the table doesn't lie, to use the old cliche. And I think he's pulled off quite an achievement, really, to give us a nice boring end of season.
Yeah,
given the resources we've got.
Top 10 finish looks like it's on the cards, which is a big achievement. I sometimes think, because we live in the FIFA 21 age and the social media, you know, impact world, historically, that's a really good finish for Millwall Football Club. We don't have many top 10 finishes in the second flight of football. For that to be achieved, and I think it'll be back-to-back if presume we pull it off, James. I mean, we seem to be building something under Rowett. I think there were moments yesterday where you get a hint of what that style that he's building can be. And then it falls into the kind of a twilight zone of nothingness, doesn't it? It's a very odd combination at the moment.
I think he's I vacillate really on Vak Rowett. When he first came in, I thought it was a real upgrade in terms of coaching ability and tactical nous and things. As much as I liked Harris, it felt like it was a positive move overall, both for Harris and for Millwall. But but there have been times this season when it has been so awful to watch, and it has, like you say, seemed like we're just kind of going down a wormhole, really. I suppose the debate really is he making the best of really a pretty mediocre squad? And I think one of your contributors last week said the better the players you put around Ryan Wood, the better Ryan Wood looks. And is it that? Or actually, is he a very defensive coach who sets up a very deep midfield, which means our strikers look quite isolated? I mean, I thought the match yesterday summed up so much of Millwall, really. There was quite a lot of energy. It was quite high intensity. Quality was really poor. Lacked composure, particularly after we scored. It seemed panic set in. Bart saved us with a couple of brilliant saves.
He did.
And there was a moment of real class from Jed Wallace. And that sort of seemed to sum us up, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so much of the season. I my own view, and you know, open to listeners to contradict it, really, is that Rowett this season has not really had a full hand of cards to play over. We've been afflicted with injuries. I mean, we saw yesterday, James, the return of Kenneth Zohor. I know he's a lone player, but you know, Conor Mahoney's back now, and you do get these little hints that there are real quality players that have been assembled this season. Kiefton Belt came back late in the day yesterday. So you get a sense of quality that's there, but obviously most of the game yesterday was chasing a kind of a Rotherham team that were desperate for points, and it was a full-on kind of scrap from their point of view. I thought they did quite well, to be really honest. I mean, if they had a better quality strike force, we might have come away hurting from yesterday.
Very similar game to the game up there, actually, where again they dominated most of the possession, but we again pulled off a win.
Yeah,
I agree with you about the hand that Grouett's been dealt, really, because I think our squad's looked really knackered, and it's really shown at the seams a bit at times with the number of injuries we've been carrying. My son does a bit of coaching. I was watching it with him yesterday, and he was talking about how we seem to be playing with much more intensity after the international break, and that the players seemed just a bit more energised, even though the quality wasn't really there. So I remember reading Mike Calvin's book on coaching, scouting, Nowhere Men. Really, really, really interesting book. And he said there are three things in a player: fitness, character and technical ability. And smaller clubs like Millwall have to compromise on that. And it does feel like we've signed some quite classy players like Kiefton Belt and Zohor, but they are quite injury prone. And that's, in a sense, the gamble that while we've got the budget we have, Rowett's taking, really.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if they weren't injury prone, if they were able to reproduce their technical ability on a regular basis, they'd be at a higher level. So I think that's how they find themselves at South Bermondsey Station, you know, walking down Ilterton Road to the den.
After the kebab shop.
after the kebab shop, that's right. I mean, there were some real standout moments. I mean, I don't want to sound too downbeat over yesterday, because I mean, I touched on Bart already. I was saying to Aaron in the piece earlier on what a world-class goalkeeper he can be. I suppose the reason he's not doesn't found fortune at a higher level is, and Aaron made this good point, that modern goalkeepers are expected to play like outfield players at times, and he just seems to get a little bit wobbly at those moments, James. I mean, it's about the only criticism I can really make of him. But if he's going to criticize,
he makes three or four mistakes a season, doesn't he?
Don't they all? You know, you see.
But the balance is, I mean, his shot stopping. That's particularly that save in the first half.
Absolutely.
When he got down low. Absolutely stunning. You know, I thought it was. And you can feel the confidence in that defence with him behind them. I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I was reading the Rotherham manager Paul Warne said about the penalty save. It actually wasn't a badly struck penalty. It was a really, really good save. And sometimes you've got to take your hat off to the goalkeeper's ability. So I think, you know, we do have, albeit a late career, match-winning goalkeeper, really. I think that's quite an asset. And, you know, Jed can frustrate and he can be indulgent at times, James, but God almighty, he can produce it when he needs it as well.
Oh, that was a beautifully struck goal.
Wonderful.
I mean, the frustration for Jed is, I think he just goes a bit Roy of the Rovers at times because he gets frustrated and he feels he's got to try and win the game on his own, and that's when his composure goes a bit, really. But no, he's one of the best Millwall players I've seen over the years down at the Den.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I got told off for not mentioning Jed yesterday on Twitter, and I do remind listeners, you only get 280 characters on a tweet, and you can't pack it all in. But and maybe we take Jed for granted a little bit, like we take Bart Bielkowski for granted, James, because he does produce these moments of absolute top quality, and that's a rarity at the Den as well. I mean, we don't have many like that, do we? Over the years, you know.
Well, and while we don't seem to have a settled and effective strike force at the moment, we're really, really heavily reliant on Jed. But I thought Mason Bennett played well yesterday. Yep, well,
I like him.
We got our 70 minutes out of him, but you know, he really does put a shift in, and is quite classy. I think uses the board intelligently. I thought Danny McNamara had a really good game. There was a beautiful moment in the first half when he did a little chip over and ran around a player, and you just thought, oh, that's really, really good to see a young player with confidence and ability like that. And like you, I thought the three subs when they came on all seemed to raise us up a level. And I thought Mahoney again had a really nice moment when he dribbled through about three or four players. So hopefully that's the sort of positive sign of a kind of building squad, really.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the it's transfermarket.com. I don't know how reliable this information is. I love to look at these things, listeners. I can't help it.
But when's Aguero arriving?
Aguero's arriving. I mean, we're just looking at the contract situation. I mean, obviously, some of the more regular boo boys if we had fans on our terraces, such as John Daddy and Tom Bradshaw, actually contracted to be at the Den for next season as well.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. I mean, John Daddy is contracted till 2022, June, and Bradshaw, 2022. I mean, out of contract this summer, I just wanted to run some of these names past you, James, because I know how I feel about some of them, but it's always interesting to get a second opinion. I mean, Frank Fielding in goal is out of contract at the end of June. I think Frank's greatest contribution was that 30-odd minutes of play at the start of last season and get out of the way for Bart, really. I think he's one for the bus.
I think we should try and find a younger, longer-term second goalkeeper.
Yeah. I agree. Murray Wallace is out of contract in June. I think he's a keeper, James. Would you make Murray?
I'd definitely keep Murray Wallace because I think he's good in central defence. He can do a job at left back, but also you get the feeling that to use that slightly corny phrase, he's one of the governors from Mike Calvin's family book again. And I think you need a certain level of stability at a club. And I think, Murray's never lets the team down. I mean, you're not going to get the kind of flowing football like you get out of Malone when he's at left back. But he certainly brings some strength to this defence.
Oh, he's the ultimate Millwall squad player, the man that you want reinforcing anywhere in defensive terms that you need.
He reminds me of Andy Frampton a bit.
Yeah, he does have that quality. Yeah, I agree. It's a good analogy. So I think Murray's a keeper from both our perspectives there, James. I mean, you mentioned I'm just seeing that Alex Pearce, strangely, is also contracted till 2022. So I'm hoping that he's going to be more as a kind of an off-field mentor stroke leader than an on-field influence. But he didn't play too badly, oddly, when he came in for Hutchinson.
No, my heart dropped when he went on because his form's really dropped away this season. He really does look like he's showing his age now. So it strikes me again, he could be a good sort of player coach alongside Williams and only used in emergency.
I agree with that. I know my heart sank when Sean went down with that. I think he's twisted his ankle. Rowett, there's no news at the moment as to how bad Sean Hutchinson is, but a few weeks, I think, at the minimum, probably take us to the end of the season, in to be realistic. You mentioned Sean Scott Malone earlier on, James, and Malone's is on loan, and that loan expires on May the 31st. I think he's been a real revelation for me this season. He's been a real attacking presence on the left. I'd love to see him come back.
I think he's he's the key player, actually, in some ways, in terms of Rowett's system, in terms of just giving so many of our good moves comes through Malone, crossing in from the left.
Marlon Romeo is here until 2024. He's got the longest contract that I could find on transfer. As I say, I'd put a caveat in, listeners. I don't know how accurate this is. I mean, I'm just, it could be like some kid on a FIFA career mode that's put this together for all I know. But anyway, that's that. Ryan Woods is a loan player, James, and that loan expires on May the 31st. I think he's a controversial Marmite kind of character, Ryan Woods, isn't he?
I like him. But I do understand why people get frustrated with him, because he sometimes gives up possession. He doesn't tackle back. He doesn't show those qualities that often we look for in a midfielder. But when he's got a settled group of players around him of a certain standard, I think he's done well. You know, he's played much better since Billy Mitchell's gone in alongside him. I think he's a real class act. I think he went to Stoke for about $6 million from Brentford, didn't he?
And
I imagine that his wages are going to be pretty off the scale for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting... Scott Malone will be an interesting story for the summertime. I think Ryan Woods will be an interesting story, because will he or won't he come back? I mean, Rowett seems to like him. I think he's looked a lot better as a more attacking presence. It's interesting, he's listed on here as defensive midfield. So he's been, I think that's his lesser quality, really. I think he looks much, much better when he gets forward, James, and makes those passes that he can pick.
Yeah, because I think he's limited as a defensive midfielder. His energy levels aren't, he doesn't tackle enough. You know, he's not breaking up play. That's what you need from a defensive midfielder.
Sean Williams is out of contract in June. I think Sean will go down as one of the great Mill servants, because he's actually been around since...
Holloway signed him.
Yeah, Holloway, 2014. So it's a long time. He's always, I know he gets the mickey taken out with the wand and all this business. He's a really good player. And I like Sean Williams. He's one of those people you'd want in and around your club. So I'm hoping that the coaching side of it will become, more apparent. I mean, even when he does come in as a cameo player these days, he still always looks...
Yeah, no, okay. I'd give him another year's contract for those cameos. I think one of the things that has struck me is we really do seem to panic at the end of some games.
And we do.
We were running around like headless chickens the last 10 minutes yesterday. I think Williams is the type of player who can bring on and just calm people manage the end of the game.
Absolutely. There's an interesting one that's out of contract for you, Jane. Ben Thompson, 2021, his contract is it up here. Now, I don't know if there's any, I'm not privy to the site of the document, so I don't know if there's anything else that comes into it. It's going to be an interesting story, Ben Thompson, because obviously beloved of the Mill support, and he's one of our own and all the rest of it. I don't know if Rowett fancies him quite as much as the support base do. Interesting.
Thompson's the player most who I wonder whether it's because he's being played in the wrong way or whether it's because of his ability. People on Twitter sort of slag him off as a League One player, and I think that's incredibly unfair. I think he's better than that. Whether he's can ultimately establish himself in the Championship, the jury's still out a bit for me. I think it's been interesting. I didn't think Billy Mitchell had a brilliant game yesterday, but overall, watching the kind of composure that Billy's brought in since he's been in, he seems to be a level above Ben Thompson. But I remember when it's perhaps a bit over the top. I think when Harris brought him back from that loan at to Portsmouth, he was a big reason why we stayed up at that end of that season. He seemed to, and I know that Aaron described him as potentially the best number 10 in the division, you know. So I do wonder whether it's just a question of a player's face not fitting, really, in terms of Rowett and tactics.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I also note, just looking at him, he's 25 years old. He's actually at a crossroads point in his football career. It's from here onwards, you know, the clock starts to tick increasingly fast, doesn't it, for Ben? So big choices, big decisions. I mean, Ben will have his own views. He will want first team football, James. He wants to be a regular.
You do wonder whether perhaps him and Romeo are at a stage where they need a new challenge and they need a new bit of, I like Romeo, and I think both him and Danny McNamara have played much better with the competition for that right back slot, really. But you know, I could see a bit of turnover of some long term players this summer.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some big stories, so to speak, from a Millwall perspective in the summertime. Here's another willing workhorse for you, James. Shane Ferguson. Shane Ferguson is contract up in June the 30th.
But he's just not getting it. He's not getting a look.
He's not getting the airtime. No, he's not.
I mean, he doesn't even make the bench. I mean, over the years, I mean, he's been a really effective left winger for us. I mean, I remember that cup game when he came on and completely, I think was it against Bradford? I can't remember, but turned it around. He can play really, really well. But there's no point in having squad players that if they're so far off the first team, what's the point? They've got to be either kind of moving in or being used in those sort of cameo roles like the other experienced players we were talking about.
No, I agree. I mean, he's the eternal 75th minute substitute, isn't he? You know, if he does get a game, he's coming into it late, so to speak. I don't know. His story has been. I don't know why it captures my heartstrings in a way, but I think because he went out in the cold for so long, and then he came back, and it just appeals to the dramatic in me. I don't know. Matt Smith is just to conclude this little screenshot that I've got here. Matt Smith is out of contract. That's going to be an interesting move. I wonder because, you know, there's always this thing that Matt doesn't fit into the system, James, and, you know, he doesn't. And yet, you know, get rid of Matt Smith, you're getting rid of, I don't know how many goals he scored this season. 10 goals. You're getting shot at 10 goals, you know.
I think it's a real dilemma for Rauer. He's got five strikers and clearly the other four are all playing a style that's more suited to his preferred tactics.
Yep.
But Smith's the most effective scorer. And he is a one-trick pony, but he's so good at that one trick. I mean, if you whip crosses into him, he is fantastic. I remember a QPR fan when he came over said, for God's sakes, don't play him as a number nine. Don't start lumping the ball up to him because he's useless at that. He'll just look like a cart horse. But you whip those strikers in and he'll put those crosses in.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant. And I'd keep him, but I suspect Rowett might, because when Rowett's teams are misfiring, everybody clamours for Matt Smith. And I wonder whether he might want to sort of change that a bit that next season.
Well, I think he aspires to, you know, if he could get Aguero in, then he probably would. He would aspire to that kind of level. But, you know, Matt Smith is our Aguero, I think.
Yes.
And, you know, it's actually a cold kind of calculation really at the end of the day, because if you do get shot of Matt, and you know, we all know the arguments tactically, but as we just said, you know, you're also saying goodbye to 10 goals, and they've been that's not an easy decision to take.
Daddy got one and Bradshaw scored about 3 years ago, I'd be very reluctant to show in the door.
Yeah, I mean, an eternal hell of that John Daddy and Bradshaw as your strike force. So it's going to be an interesting. I mean, I listened to a great podcast, an interview he did. It wasn't particularly Millwall focused. About it was Matt Smith talking about his life and his aims, and he seems to be studying for a business MBA. So I wonder, and I'm trying to sell this idea, Matt, if you're listening to the show, that a nice little squad position coming on for the last half an hour of you know, Championship games where we need a goal.
Time to write his essay.
Exactly. Bit of work time. So if you're listening, Matt and Gary, then that's my suggestion. We saw briefly yesterday, and I don't know if we'll see him much after this season, James, Kenzo Hoare. I want to like Ken, but he doesn't seem to. I mean, obviously the injury's not helped him, but when he's good, he's very good, and when he's not, he's indifferent, isn't he?
Well, he's one of those strikers who I think it's probably unfair, but he just looks like he's not interested, that doesn't endear people to a player when we're not really firing and we're struggling to get into the top of a game. I think he's a really good player. I think
he's quality. Yeah.
I remember when he came on was it the Preston game when he first came in? I thought, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but again, he wouldn't be at Millwall if he could do that consistently. right?
Maybe he doesn't see Millwall as being the pinnacle of his career, possibly. I don't know, but there might be a bit of reconciliation in Kenzo Hoare's head needed.
Taking down the kebab shop.
He hasn't seen the kebab house. And there we are. Anyone who's not on that list, listeners, are contracted to be here for next season. Whether you like some of that or not, there may well be some chess moves to be made during the course of the summertime.
Achtung, Mehlball.
I'd be surprised if there's an awful lot of change. There may be one or two, James, but I think the basis of the squad are what we're seeing at the moment. Perhaps
yes, and reasons. I think you know, it's going to be a weird transfer market, isn't it? Because no one's got any money.
No.
And so it'll be a shuffling around rather than anything too dramatic. And to be honest, dramatic doesn't usually work for us. When we brought in our sort of big squad overhauls, normally was talking about it still gelling in November when the manager gets sacked. So I'd go with a bit of stability and just add two or three more, I think, replacing the obvious people we just talked about.
I mean, the other big element that's been missing this season, and it's a real Millwall element, is of course the fans. Yeah. You know, I do wonder, there was a debate online about whether Gary Rowett's style would be tolerated by fans in the stadium. And I don't know, because I actually think that one thing that Millwall fans do like is a good, solid, crunching performance. And some of the games that have drifted away from us at times, no, I mean, the presence of fans probably would have G'd the players along, I hope, anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays next season, when hopefully, maybe from August onwards, we're seeing increasing attendances. I don't know what the regulations would be in August, but certainly I'm seeing around the world now, you know, limited attendances at events. And that's going to be an interesting, the Gary Rowett style with the Millwall quality, the fans. Interesting.
he said he felt cheated without the crowd. He said that was one of the main reasons he came here. But I wonder if he'll still be saying that by November.
Oh dear, we'll come back to that one, Gary. Now, next season we'll see how it feels. I mean, I just want to touch on the season ticket sales with you, James. I mean, we were speaking before we recorded this, listeners, and I don't know if you also out there in listening to the show also struggled with it, but I was quite taken aback by the credit that was carried forward from last year to this season's ticket sales. I mean, if you paid for a ticket last year and you couldn't attend, this has been carried forward to this season. It bewildered me. I actually paid 400 odd quid for my ticket, James, initially, and I didn't appreciate till I looked online that people were saying, well, I've got mine for a 20 quid, 30 quid or something.
Or I paid £4.
Yeah, it's magnificent. I don't know, I was trying to think of what the right words are for this gesture by John Berylson, who's been single-handedly funding the club. Obviously, last season, you know, I mean, there's been very little coming in, apart from
that. I was astonished by it. I thought to be honest, given that we've had season ticket holders have had free iFollow access, whatever you say about you know, I think it's we've been able to see every game, and I was going to sort of take it on the chin and just accept that that's the way, you know, the club I love is going to carry on, that we're just going to have to take the hit, really. So to suddenly be given a free season ticket when there's no revenue coming in seems amazingly generous to me. And you know, it does sum up, an amazing 14 years from him, really. I mean, I know people have got frustrated, and perhaps he was a bit unrealistic during the Jacket years about the level of investment needed to keep a team in the Championship.
Yeah.
But he funded Lomas, he funded Holloway. I think historically we've probably got quite a high wage bill now. You look at for all the moaning about the quality of the squad, that it's pretty, I think it's pretty good for Millwall standards.
There was an article I was just reading before we started recording on News at Den where he's saying he's frustrated with the new Bermondsey regeneration that hasn't started. I personally will be happy if it never started, they left it forever as the car park and the light industrial units of the fish dealer and the calf.
And the kebab shop. And the 30, I mean, you know, I'm all for looking forward and stuff, but I'm not sure we're going to need the 34,000 seats for a while. And
European nights, James, a big European nights, mate.
I just, you know, the suspicion is that whatever reassurances we're given, Millwall in the middle of a high quality residential redevelopment doesn't feel particularly great match, really.
No. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, it hasn't happened. I mean, it was 3 or 4 years now since we had the campaign to kind of include the club, and still nothing's happened. I mean, I will be honest, I will level with people. It wouldn't make me very happy if nothing ever happened at that little part of South.
I think it will, though, because my eldest has moved up to Rotherhithe, and there's a lot of building going on around that whole area. Surrey Quays has been knocked down, and they're going to put 3,000 flats there. So you can feel it move. I think the area will eventually go. But poor old Berrison said he's 68 years old. He was 50 when it started, when the discussion started with Peter de Savray and all that.
Anyway, we shall see. We'll look forward to next season, hopefully with a full den. I mean, certainly season ticket sales seem to be going very, very well. And if you do go on the website, it's not the easiest thing to navigate. I'm a boomer, but I'd like to think I do know my way around a website, but it's not the easiest thing to find, James.
I found it tricky. In fact, I managed to cock it up from one of my family members. It's patience.
Patience, or alternatively, and I can't recommend ringing up there's a ticket line, ends in 2004. I can't remember the rest of the phone number, apologies. But the chap that I spoke to, really, really helpful, sorted me out, managed to get the money transferred over from the credit so I paid about £3 or £4, I think, in the end. Really helpful. So I recommend ringing them up rather than trying to find your way through that a bog of a website. But hats off to Mill Football Club for that gesture. James, I just want to close. I know you're a bit. I saw one of your posts. You're going to Peckham Town. I think the non-league game on Saturday, is it?
24th of April.
You're a bit of an aficionado of local non-league clubs. Fisher, I know that you
enjoy. You're calling me a nerd.
No. I know. It's excellent. I mean, the non-league is the base of our game.
I'm a big fan. I'm a season ticket holder at Fisher as well as
St Paul's at Rotherhithe.
And there's a lot of Millwall fans go along there, and it's a completely different scene. It's almost like a different sport, really. But I went to I was chatting to somebody who goes home and away. On Twitter and stuff, and he started going during lockdown, and he just said it helped him fall in love with football again.
That's interesting. It's been a while since I've been to a non-league. I will, once the season starts, I'm going to try and get along to Fisher so we can catch up there one game. Whether we'll get to the away games like we did last season, or we're back when football existed properly, I don't know yet. We'll see how next season goes, but I certainly thought to get along to one or two local non-league games just to check it out. It's a wonderful scene, isn't it? I mean, it's the lifeblood of the sport generally. Like the chap there said, it's why you follow the game, non-league football. It's just a
exuberant. And you know, it's not as stressful as watching Millwall. I mean, you don't get kind of drawn into the sort of psychodrama of it all and stuff, which is good and bad, really. But it's interesting watching young players develop and hearing, chatting to the coaching staff and chatting to Gary Alexander when he brought his team down there to play, Glebe,
that's right, Mottingham. Yeah.
So it's not. And it's, chat to the players and stuff, so it's a nice scene. And the crowds really went up during lockdown at Fisher, but there was mostly Millwall fans. There was about 300 was the limit, and they were getting up towards that by the end.
And of course you can have a beer, you can stand, but you can have a beer at the side of the pitch. It's at that level where that's fine. And when you stop and look, I mean, wherever, you know, the support was spread all over South East London, South Central, all over. But wherever you are in London particularly, but elsewhere in the country, there's normally a non-league club not far away from you. It's actually this kind of unseen, underbelly of the game, really. It deserves support as we come out of the pandemic, I think.
Hope so, yeah. And it's brilliant going around to, you know, I went to Deal Town last year and some place called Kennington on the edge of Ashford and stuff like that. You know,
wonderful stuff. Well, enjoy Peckham. That's on the South Circuit. I was just looking at that ground just before we came.
It's lovely. It's next to Dulwich Park.
Yeah, Dulwich College around there, isn't it? Yeah.
It's had a lot of investment in. A man who owns franchises for McDonald's has poured a lot of money into it. So it's a funny place. It's got proper little stands and things.
Peckham Town. Check it out, listeners, if you fancy and on the game. I want to say a big thank you to James for taking time out your Saturday morning, mate. I really appreciate it today. We'll see how the season drifts out. We're going to be coming back on Easter Monday with Stoke City away. I won't mention what happens if we win, because we'll creep closer to the top six. So I won't go on about that, James. Big thank you for joining me today, mate. It's appreciated.
Cheers. Thanks.
Thank you for listening, dear listeners. And we'll be back after the Easter Monday show. I'll be speaking to Stuart Mace in the aftermath of Stoke City versus Millwall. So until then, arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?